You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
We got Nick, we got Sacha, we got Kmart, we got a show, ladies and gentlemen. Let's do it.
We call this TV magic.
Let's get
it going.
Yeah!
One of the larger habits I'm making is patting myself on the back.
Anything you can do, I can do better.
I love working with intelligent people. Damn, RC always right. I'm not 100% sure anyone's buying that.
Look at the effort.
Dipsy do the Dunkaroo.
Look at the effort.
Gee, you crazy as hell because you make sense.
No one doesn't find that funny.
Every single play, somebody's mom's getting talked about.
You guys didn't have that at journalism school?
My mother went unscathed through my entire school. I didn't get the memo that we were wearing green today.
That's more like a sherbet. Green. That's sorry.
I can't wear Jets green. Like that's like
I'm going to get a medical professional on this program.
Why
to explain
do we
to
need
you
the pinky toe?
The significance.
I mean, it's a pinky toe. What are they for? For stubbing on dressers and stuff.
It wouldn't be there if you didn't need it for something.
I feel like you're judging me now.
Never trust the toot.
Never trust the fart?
Toot. Never trust it.
I mean, it's only fitting that you talk about toots and farts when it comes to a team that's called the Browns.
Gotta love it. Welcome back to Get Up. We're coming to you live from above the Heineken River Deck at Pier 17. Sacha with us on a day after Thanksgiving, waking up from the food coma to be here, as are you. We're happy to see you. Also got Dan Graziano, Ninko with us, but we get you right to this. Getting up with the Dallas debacle. Penalties costing Big D big time. How much trouble are the slumping Cowboys in right now? Plus, Josh Allen and the Bills bounce back in a big way, but are they the cream of the crop in the AFC East? And Tampa Tom renewing his rivalry with the Colts. Are the Buccaneers in trouble against one of the league's hottest teams? We will talk about that and so much more from a busy football Thanksgiving. And we start with the game of the night. Raiders, Cowboys. Boy, did the Cowboys need a win in this one. Early first quarter, Derek Carr getting the Raiders off with a strong start to DeSean Jackson. For the big play, Sacho, touchdown.
Yes, technique, technique, technique. Jordan Lewis has to use his inside hand to bat the ball down, outside arm to make the tackle. He didn't, and that's why it was a touchdown.
But Dallas coming back, closing minutes of the half, coming back on first and goal. Zeke pounds it in on the handoff, 1 yard touchdown. Cowboys down 4 at the half. Early third quarter, here's a crazy sequence. Cedric Wilson calls for the fair catch, ball bounces out of bounds, but that's not to watch. Watch Roderick Teamer of the Raiders and Kelvin Joseph of the Cowboys getting into it on the sideline.
Yeah, and these guys came from the other side of the field, a gunner and a corner trying to block each other, and every time on special teams, it's the longest play in football, so these guys are going at it, and everybody joined in on the party.
Yeah, Teamer and Joseph going at it. Look at the ref, got cut on the chin, both players getting ejected, but there were a lot of penalties in this one. Late third, Raiders first and goal. Marcus Mariota in for the touchdown.
Yeah, and every time he gets in the game, you know he's got an extra weapon with his speed.
Now, Daniel Carlson kicking it to Tony Pollard on the ensuing kickoff. And this was just incredible. He turns the corner and he takes off.
Yes, this is what NFL coordinators call elite juice. And you saw that referee? He couldn't even see the juice. He's on the ground trying to get the juice. Tony Pollard got it. He got the juice.
Catch up, ref. Touchdown, Dallas. Fourth quarter, under 4 minutes to go. Dallas down 8. Dak Prescott. And he started really putting it on the money in the fourth quarter right here to Michael Gallup for the big play.
Yeah, he did. That looked like a handoff to Michael Gallup. Literally a 40-yard handoff. Perfectly placed ball.
Two plays later, Prescott to his main man at tight end, Dalton Schultz, with a touchdown. Dallas only down 2. Cowboys, Jerry happy. 2-point conversion. Can they do it? Prescott, Schultz, match made in heaven.
Yeah, and tight ends are quarterback's best friends. They are safety nets and safety blankets. Keep you warm.
Tie game at 30. Raiders possession under 3 minutes to play. Carr to Jackson. He was like a key security blanket in this game.
Oh, absolutely. This is why they signed him a few weeks ago, to be that receiver that could take the top off of defense.
Now, Daniel Carlson right here lining up for the 56-yarder. It is good. Raiders take a 33-30 lead. So they have the edge. Cowboys looking to tie it or at least try to maybe win it. 3rd and 3, a minute remaining. Prescott to Gallup. They get to the 40-yard line. Man, was he dependable in this one.
Worth every penny. I don't know how many quarterbacks in the NFL can make that throw right there. Pay this. I'm so glad he got paid.
Threading the needle. Greg Zuerlein, a chance to tie the game. The 45-yarder is good. Cowboys tie it. Send it into overtime. And after the Cowboys didn't score, Raiders on third and long. Carr throws it up to Zay Jones. This is a key play, even though it's an incompletion.
Yeah, it was a key play because it was a penalty in overtime, and that penalty right there cost the Cowboys multiple yards and put the Raiders in field goal position.
Pass interference called on Anthony Brown. His fourth pass interference called on him of the game. Raiders in field goal range. Carlson from 34 to win it. Not quite. Play blown dead after the Raiders got called for a false start. Move it back to the 39. Carlson, go again. Let's blow it dead again. Offsides on the Cowboys, the story of the game. Penalties, penalties, penalties. Carlson from 34. Flag thrown as he doinks it off the upright. Another offsides on the Cowboys. Automatic first for the Raiders. Now from 29, Carlson, it is up. And it is good, and that is game. Wild sequence leads to the Raiders outlasting Dak and the Cowboys. Carlson gets the turkey leg, but after the game, still chippy out there, Sacho.
Yeah, and the Raiders are a physical football team. We know that. They were kind of trying to beat up and bully the Cowboys, but the Cowboys weren't having it.
Cowboys mad about the penalties after this one. Take a listen to this.
28 penalties. I don't know what the hell you want me to say. I mean, so right where you want, I'm all for it.
We actually sat down in the game plan before the game and really thought that this crew has huge penalties. And we thought this would be a high penalty game. And so we anticipated that. To their credit, I think they just did a real good job of getting their big plays and a bunch of more penalties.
So Jerry knew this was coming. We'll talk about that in just a second. Penalties, a huge story in this game. The Cowboys had 14 accepted penalties against them for a franchise record 166 yards. Let that sink in. The Raiders finished with 7 first down via penalty, tied for their most in a game over the last 20 seasons, and the 7 first down allowed via penalty are tied for the Cowboys' most over the last 20 seasons. It was all about the penalty in this one. We bring back in Rob Ninkovich, Dan Graziano joining us. Ninko, what was your reaction to all these penalties with the Cowboys?
Well, if I was a Cowboys fan, I'd be a little bit panicked right now. You look at the Cowboys and just in general, the way that they played, they were 3 of 13 on third down. And that was both sides. So the Raiders and the Cowboys were 3 for 13. How did they score so many points? Well, I'll tell you how. They were throwing so many flags on both sides of the football that would cause me some concern. You think about the Broncos game and they lose that game, then they lose the Kansas City game. We thought that those would be wake-up calls for the Cowboys. Well, they're dealing with injuries. They're dealing with a lot of sloppy, undisciplined football. So if you are an undisciplined team and you have a lot of flags thrown on you, there is really no shot to go deep into the playoffs if you have that many penalties. Sorry if you hear a crazy kid above me because I have a 2-year-old. But anyway, if you have that many penalties, it's going to be really, really hard to win in a one-game season. When you hit the playoffs, it's all about playing mistake-free football. Right now, they're playing with a lot of mistakes.
We can't hear the 2-year-old, but it's nice to get some insight into the Ninkovich home. Now, Sacho, let me ask you this. You heard Jerry talk about the penalties, right? We knew this was coming. This is a crew that was in the top 5 in terms of penalties called on teams. But I wonder, if you know that going in, then why have so many penalties? What did you make of that?
Yeah, Bingo, I have an issue with Jerry Jones saying he knew this was going to be a high penalty game. Every Saturday before games, the team would have a meeting. And you have a meeting saying, hey, this is the referee crew that we're playing against. This crew specifically, the Hockey League crew, they are number one in defensive pass interferences called. They are number one in defensive holdings called. So you know that. If you know that, you don't just say, okay, it's going to be a high penalty game. If you know that, you adjust. You change a little bit of how you play. You play the game a little bit differently because you know these refs call it differently. They call it tighter. And so my issue with the Cowboys game plan specifically is that they didn't adjust number one to this crew, but even a bigger picture, you're going to have to adjust moving forward because these penalties kill you in the playoffs.
So that's the penalty angle of it. Dan, I want to talk to you about the defense in all of this because this was a team for many weeks. Remember last season, they were a disaster on defense. They start this year and everybody says, wow, Dan Quinn's defense turning it around. This Cowboys team is a championship contender. What are you seeing in this defense now?
So when, even when they were on their roll, Ryan, there was concern when you talk to people around the league, well, what do you think of the Cowboys? The question was, can their defense really stop somebody when they're not generating turnovers at the very high rate they were early in the season? And I think, you know, right now we're starting to see some of those concerns come to life because on the back end, they are a little bit reliant on turnovers. And their pass rush is definitely banged up with DeMarcus Lawrence and Randy Gregory both out right now. So I think you're seeing a little bit of those concerns become exposed on the back end. And I don't think you can separate the defense and the kinds of penalties that were called yesterday because those were penalties that could be the result of defensive backs thinking that they're beaten or that the grabbing is the only way that they're gonna win on that play. So if that's the case, then there's a lot to correct on that side of the ball for Dallas if they want to get where they want to go.
Yeah, speaking of correction, Ninko, I got to ask, how do you fix it? Like, what do you do? At this point, it's week 12. You're a championship. You have championship aspirations. How do you fix it?
Well, you go to the local sporting goods store. You go and buy a bunch of tennis balls. You put them in all your DB and linebackers' hands. You duct tape their hands so they can't hold. And I can talk about being a little bit panicked. When I used to have to cover, I don't know, Rob Gronkowski in training camp, I would hold sometimes. You know why? Because I was a little bit like, wow, I can't cover this guy. He's uncoverable. I can't cover him. What do I do? Well, I have to hold him. I have to grab him. I have to throw the flag on me. So guess what? I'd have the tennis ball in the hands and Rob would catch the ball all over me. But anyway, let's just say that the way that you correct it is practice. You go in early, you try and do the best that you can, but you put some tennis balls in your hands. You try to play confident because when you play confident and your confidence is high, you're not having to do that quick grab stuff. You're not playing behind the play. So when you get behind on the play, that's when you start grabbing. That's when you get a little desperate, and then that's when the penalties occur.
Tennis balls, that's the trick. Is that it? Just tennis balls?
Well, that's part of it. I mean, that's one way to go about it. That's one way, right? That's the Patriot way, if you are for Ninko.
Okay.
But another way is just doing the little things, whether it's going out 15 minutes early, whether it's just having your coaches focus on these specific drills where you're not touching the receiver past 5 yards. You drill this in practice. Drill in practice where you're turning around and finding the football. You drill in practice when you try and not just get the interception, but pat the ball down and make the tackle. All these things are technique issues. And technique issues, now that you know what your issues are, they can be solved by focusing on them during practice. So I'm not concerned with the Cowboys. I think that they know what their issues are. Now they can go and focus on correcting their mistakes.
Okay, I think that's interesting because if they have these issues, it lends yourself to the idea, Dan Graziano, that maybe the coaching staff needs to step up in different ways. Who do you think is to blame in all of this in terms of how the defense is performing right now?
Well, look, we gave Dan Quinn, the defensive coordinator, a lot of credit when the defense was playing well. So obviously you have to look at him as the man on whom the corrections will fall if it's not. Look, again, they will get healthier on that side of the ball. Mm. Think back to the offseason, and Ryan, you referenced this. They were coming off a year where the defense was abysmal. They believe their offense can score at a high level. They scored 33 yesterday without their top two receivers, and their running back's playing through a knee injury. They can score. All they need is the defense to be kind of middle of the pack. And right now, it's very susceptible to big plays. And obviously, I think that's reflected in what you saw in the kinds of penalties that were called. 4 pass interferences on the same cornerback in one game. They obviously have to figure some things out on that side of the ball.
So, Rob Ninkovich, can this team make a deep playoff run?
Not like this, but they can. They have the pieces in place. If they can correct the mistakes and they can get healthy, yeah, they have the quarterback. They have the running back tandem. They have the defense when they're healthy. They have the receivers when they're healthy. But if they play like this with penalties and guys out of position, no, it's really hard to win when you have that many errors. So can the Cowboys, do they have the talent? Yes. Do they have to become a healthier, smarter team where they don't commit the penalties? Of course. That's what they have to do. They have to be healthy. They have to be more disciplined, and they can make a run.
A lot of things they have to do. I know it is a tough Friday morning for a lot of Cowboys fans. But you know who's pretty happy right now? Guess who? This is how Stephen A. Smith feels. Oh, Stephen A. is going to join us live this morning at 9:30 a.m. to talk about them Cowboys. Well, coming up, We'll talk about Josh Allen and the Bills. They bounced back in a big way. Is Buffalo now in the driver's seat in the AFC East? Plus, Tampa Tom renewing his rivalry with the Colts. Are the Bucs in trouble against one of the league's hottest teams? We'll get at that and more when we come back.
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meet nutritious. In the snack that packs a real protein punch, wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more.
A lot of football on Thanksgiving, so we go to this game. Saints, Bills. Josh Allen and the Bills looking to get back on track against the Saints with a lot of injuries on their side. Middle of the first, scoreless game, second and goal. Josh Allen to Dawson Knox, breaks the tackle, powers in for the touchdown. Bills take the early lead. 16 seconds to go in the half, Bills up 10-0. Second and 6 on the Saints 11. Allen picked off by Quan Alexander.
Sato. Yeah, but that was thanks to Cam Jordan getting his hand on the football, and Quan made a huge play.
He's had a lot of INT issues. That one wasn't his fault. Same score, second and goal. Allen, Stephon Diggs, touchdown. Bills up 17-0. Later in the third, Bills going for it on 4th and 2. Allen feeling the pressure, but floats this one up to Knox. Beautiful pass there for the touchdown.
Yeah, Dawson Knox is a special tight end. He's big, but he's also really physical and a great route runner.
And Allen really getting in the groove there. Fourth quarter, 24-6. Allen to Matt Breida, and he booms his way into the end zone. Bills, winners, 31-6. Take a bow, have a little turkey, celebrate Josh Allen, 260 yards, 4 touchdowns in this one. Now the Bills win moves them back on top of the AFC East and push their chances to win the division to 73%. That's according to ESPN FPI. However, they still have 2 games against the Patriots on their schedule, including a Week 13 showdown on Monday Night Football. Ooh, the AFC East is looking good right now. And so I want to bring our guys back in. And Ninko, I start with you. What is your reaction? What did you think of this Bills blowout of the Saints?
They should have beat the Saints. The Saints had no running backs. They're on their third quarterback. Taysom Hill's on the sideline as an emergency quarterback because he has a foot injury. So the Bills did what they're supposed to do. They're supposed to beat the Saints. And moving forward, the things that concern me for Josh Allen are 7 interceptions in the last 4 games that he's played in. If he has 2 turnovers against the Patriots, guess what? They're going to capitalize on that. And when the Patriots are playing at their best, they make you pay for your mistakes. The Buffalo Bills in playing the Patriots coming up, that's going to be the deciding factor in this division. So can the Buffalo Bills be at their best against the Patriots? Because at this point right now, we know that Patriots are on the upswing here and they're playing at their best. That's the matchup that everyone's going to watch. So for the Bills to beat the Saints, it really doesn't tell me anything. The next game is going to be the telling game.
And by the way, look at the Bucks. Look at the Bills' next 4: Patriots, Bucks, Panthers. Looks like a win for them, at least according to FPI. And then the Patriots again. So Guys, I want to ask you all, this has now become a tight battle in the AFC East. I want to ask you who wins the AFC East. Graz, who you got?
I've been on Buffalo since before the season. Super impressed with what the Patriots have done, and obviously they can, but I have to stick with Buffalo. I think they showed last year that they can get that team playing at a high level at the right time of year. They may not look as incredibly explosive as they did last December, but I think they can get there. I think the defense is good, and I think there are better times coming for the Bills than what we've seen over the last month.
Sacho.
Yeah, there are better times coming, but they ain't coming soon. I think the Patriots are going to win this division. This wasn't my pick earlier, but the way the Patriots have been playing these last four games, their defense, one of the top defenses in the NFL, Mac Jones looking really, really good. And the Bills, on the other hand, have struggled. That's why I think that the New England Patriots will win this division. That Week 13 matchup and Week 16 matchup will be huge in their quest for the division.
Ninko, I have a feeling I know where you're going with this one.
Yeah, the stone's throw away next to me from my home, and that's Gillette Stadium. Bill Belichick has this team playing terrific. Their defense is number one in the NFL for a reason. Offensively, they are a tough football team as far as running the ball. They want to run the football. They have a young quarterback who is really good at taking care of the football. That's how they win, and that's what they will do. They'll win the division by taking care of the football, running the ball, and playing great defense.
And let's not forget the Patriots had the best coach in football. They are the most consistent team, and they are on a roll. So it's hard not to pick them. I go with the Patriots, at least at this point, but I think really throughout. So that is that one. And I got to tell you, that was a huge game. The third game was huge for a different reason on Thanksgiving. Let's go to Bears-Lions. This was big for that man, Matt Nagy, having a rough few days. Rumors of his demise apparently exaggerated. Bears 7-3 down right there, driving in Lions territory. Andy Dalton to Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, Jimmy Graham is a special tight end when he's healthy, especially in the red zone.
And Jared Goff making it happen right here to TJ Hockenson for the touchdown. Lions take the 14-3 lead after three, taking it to the fourth quarter. And this is where it got interesting. 2 minutes to go, Bears in field goal range, still down 14-13. David Montgomery gets stopped at the line. Now watch this. Dan Campbell, oh, here we go. It's coming right here. Dan Campbell called a timeout, but then watch this. Detroit's defense looks out of sorts. They call another timeout. That's a big problem.
Yeah, it's a big problem because it's a five-yard penalty.
Ugh, bad coaching mistake there. Third and four on the Detroit 11. Dalton's pass caught by Demir Byrd for the first down. Nagy lets the clock wind down, calls a timeout with 1 second left, and Cairo Santos nails the 28-yard field goal for the win. Bears end their five-game losing streak and beat the Lions 16-14. And you know, Andy Dalton did a pretty nice job airing it out yesterday, 7 for 11, 170 yards and a touchdown and an interception on throws of more than 15 yards downfield, continuing the Bears' trend of having success on throws downfield against the Lions this season. Well, coming up, if you don't like the Cowboys, you were happy about their demise, but I don't know if anybody was happier than our Stephen A. Smith, and he joins us live next. But first, a little sneaky Hembo time, this one for Dan Graziano. Dan, who started at quarterback for the Cowboys the first time they played on Thanksgiving? Yeah, he's thinking. I have a feeling he's got this, though. He's playing it up. He's trying to make Hembo feel good. We'll be right back.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Welcome back, and time for a little sneaky Hembo time with Dan Graziano. All right, Dan. So, look at the trivia right there. Who started at quarterback for the Cowboys first time they played on Thanksgiving?
The Cowboys' history of Thanksgiving games is almost as old, if not as old, as the Cowboys franchise itself. So it goes back, way before the likes of Danny White and Roger Staubach to an original. My guess is going to be Dandy Don Meredith, Cowboys quarterback.
You are correct. And what I love about you, Dan, is the precursor. You made Hembo wait for it, drawing it out, and then you got him. Dan Meredith, 1966, was when he got that first start. And Hembo, what's going on here, man? He's beating you by 7, 44-37. What does he win if he takes you down? That football. He gets to take that football. I'm giving it to you now, Dan. Speaking of the Cowboys, how about them Cowboys taking on the Raiders in a good one on Thanksgiving night? We take you right to the fourth quarter, tied at 30. Raiders with the ball with less than 3 minutes to go, and Derek Carr to DeSean Jackson makes the catch and run, sliding down to the 30-yard gain. And here's Daniel Carlson kicking it through the uprights on a 56-yarder. Raiders up 33-30. Ensuing Cowboys possession. 45 seconds to go. Dak Prescott, Cedric Wilson, the catch across the 30-yard line. That sets up Greg Zuerlein with a chance to tie the game. The 45-yard kick is good. The Cowboys tie the game and send it into overtime. So, after the Cowboys didn't score, Raiders on third and long. Carr to Zay Jones. Incomplete, but that is not the story. The story is it's pass interference called on Anthony Brown, the fourth pass interference call on him in the game. That puts the Raiders in field goal range. Frustrating for the Cowboys. Carlson kicking a 34-yarder, flag thrown as it hits the uprights, offsides, penalty on Dallas. That was the story of the game. After next attempt, after a penalty, 29-yarder is up, and it is good. The Raiders outlast Dak and the Cowboys in OT. Carlson, turkey leg is yours, as is the win for the Raiders. And you talk about the penalties. The Cowboys committed 14 penalties on the night, 166 yards in penalties. Their defense allowed more than 509 yards on offense. Does it get any worse? It does. The Cowboys are the third team in the last 40 seasons to allow 500 yards and commit 100 yards worth of penalties. Here is Dak Prescott on the loss.
We'll be okay. In the sense, is I'm sure a bunch of people are jumping off the bandwagon, which is fine with us because we know what we're capable of. We know the team that we have. More importantly, we know the men that are in that locker room, and that's the most important thing. Is just our belief in each other, and that's not going anywhere. It's not faded. We lost a tough one in an overtime game today, and that's the bottom line.
That is the bottom line. Look who's here with me, Stephen A. Smith.
Happy Thanksgiving, my brother.
Happy Thanksgiving,
my friend. Looking dapper and sharp, doing an exceptional job filling in for Greeny. How you doing, man? Everything got right?
I'm doing great. Yeah, I'm doing great.
I mean, I hope your Thanksgiving was as good as mine. It was so beautiful. It was just a beautiful day. I mean, I just must say, where do I begin?
What was your takeaway? The big takeaway?
Well, how many times do I have to tell all the Cowboy haters out there, just wait, be patient. Don't rush it. Don't rush it. They won't let you down, all right? So Thanksgiving shows up, and what happens? 14 penalties for 166 yards. And you know what the most beautiful thing was? Because I woke up, because I had to get up this morning. I had to see it, okay? Because I wanted to see what everybody said. Ninkovich and Dan Graziano and everybody, that Sam Acho, okay? Here's the deal. I'm watching this, and I said, did anybody pick up on what Jerry Jones had to say? He said, quote, "We had our meeting Saturday. We knew who the officiating crew was going to be. We had to prepare ourselves because they're going to call a tight game. And you still went out and committed 14 turnovers." I mean, you can't make this up. You just can't make this up. These are the kind of things that I'm talking about. I know Ezekiel Elliott's not 100%. I get all that. I know Tyron Smith just got back, and I understand he's got to get his bearings under him. DeMarcus Lawrence eventually a big back. Oh, that's going to be such a big deal, okay? I get all of that. I mean, Micah Parsons is big time. I mean, this brother's special. They're going to keep him at outside so he can rush the pass because we don't want to compromise that. Trayvon Diggs had an interception every game for the first 7 games. How's he been since? I'm just wondering. And oh, by the way, we found a dude by the name of Anthony Brown who should be hiding right now. 4 pass interference penalties. 4. I mean, listen, as I keep telling everybody, just be patient. The Dallas Cowboys will find a way to mess it up. Amari Cooper, What else did Jerry Jones say earlier this week? Listen, it's not about me, it's about we. I never tell you how the Cowboys are going to fall. I just tell you it'll happen because they will find a way to get in their own way. And yet again, they just don't let me down. I should love the Cowboys instead of hating on them. It's really not them, it's their fans, because they're nauseated and disgusting. I can't stand Cowboy fans. But Amari Cooper, you're going to find yourself in a position you don't get vaccinated and you got to miss not just one game, but two games. It's probably going to cost you the number one seed in the NFC, which means you ain't going to have a bye week, which means that with all those injuries you've been suffering, you're going to expose yourself even more because you're going to have to play. Ryan, this is just a beautiful morning. It's just a beautiful moment.
Cowboy fans are screaming at the screen right now. But still, it's a legit point. Yes. They knew this crew called a lot of penalties.
Yeah.
They came in, and they had an epically bad penalty day. Right. Who bears the brunt of the blame for this undisciplined performance?
In all seriousness, it's Mike McCarthy. Mm. It's Mike McCarthy. And the reason why is that you're the head coach. I mean, you're not playing. What the hell are you supposed to be doing? We can look at their defensive unit. We can look at Quinn, and he's a former head coach in Atlanta, who's not a defensive coordinator in Dallas, and we can put it on him, and I get all of that. But the reality is it has me looking at Mike McCarthy, because Mike McCarthy, as far as I'm concerned, made a boneheaded decision the moment he arrived in Dallas when he hired Mike Nolan as his defensive coordinator at the time. I know Dan Quinn is there now, but think about that for a second. You get the job after being out of a job where Aaron Rodgers was your quarterback. You become the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. Jokingly, in his defense, you know, mocked himself about lying to get because he's trying to get the job, and he got the Dallas Cowboys job. And you pull a dude from the scrap heap that hadn't been a defensive coordinator since 2014, at the time when the Atlanta Falcons were one of the worst defensive units in all of football, and Mike Nolan was their defensive coordinator. That was your first hire. So, yeah, you corrected it, but it just shows something, some slippage there. It makes no sense. And so now here you are with the Dallas Cowboys, and you know that your defense is an issue, even though Quinn is doing his thing, and they're considerably better than they were last year. In the end, when you look at the absence of discipline. Think for a second who you were going up against. You were going up against Derek Carr, with Jacobs, with DeSean Jackson, without the services of Ruggs. Waller gets hurt. You know, this is what you're going against. That's not what you're going to face in the postseason. You got Aaron Rodgers. You got Tom Brady. Potentially Matthew Stafford. To a lesser degree, Kyler Murray, and only that, I'm only talking experience.
Right.
What I'm saying is, when you have experienced individuals like that that are waiting for you in the playoffs, you're talking about guys that's going to put you in a position to get called for pass interference and holding penalties and offsides and all of those different things that can disrupt what you're trying to do. You've got to coach against that. That's Mike McCarthy's job. And he ain't doing a very good job of it. They're leading the league in penalties.
So let me say what Cowboy fans are probably saying at home right now. They're saying, look, we're going to get our top two receivers back. Sure. Dexter Lawrence is going to come back. Zeke's going to get healthy. Sure. The offense is singing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of Cowboy fans this morning are saying, look, we lost this game by 3 points. The offense looked good, especially fourth quarter on. Is there a view here? Is there a thought? Is there a way to think about this? This is still a legitimate Super Bowl contender.
There's still a legitimate Super Bowl contender because any given Sunday does apply. And the reality of the situation is, could they correct the ship? Sure. Are they going to do it? Hell no. Ain't going to happen. Ain't going to happen. Just wait. They'll mess it up, okay? That's what I'm telling you. I've been predicting it. I've been right for 26 straight years of counting, okay? It's what they do. It's just what they do. Now, we look at them, okay, you get blitzed by Denver. You lose to Kansas City. Now you lose to the Las Vegas Raiders. You were lucky to beat the Los Angeles Chargers. Mm-hmm. You should have been 0-4 against the AFC West instead of 1-3. But in the end, what it comes down to is this. You're still going to win your share of games. You got a couple of games coming up against the Washington football team. They don't even have a name yet. Ridiculous. You got the Giants coming up. They don't have a quarterback or an offensive coordinator as far as I'm concerned. Good luck, Freddie Kitchens, okay? Bottom line is Jason Garrett's going. You look at them and you look at their schedule with the Saints. Where are you going to go? Trevor Siemian, Taysom Hill, you just gave him all this money. Sean Payton, you might want to put him up in there. So you look at the schedule, and the real tough games are the last two games, the second and the ninth against the Cardinals, and then at Philadelphia. That's not going to be an easy game by any stretch of the imagination. So it can get interesting. I still see the Dallas Cowboys winning at least 12 games, okay, and being in the playoffs, obviously winning the division title, but that's not what this season's about. This season is about them brothers in the same conference who are waiting for you, most of which are experienced. and can play. And so when you look at it from that perspective, the fact that you're undisciplined, the most penalized team in the National Football League. You can ask Sam, you can ask Dan, you can ask Rob. Damn it, you know, Ryan. When you are undisciplined and you are prone to penalties, that is not something you usually fix in the same season. It usually happens in the offseason. So the fact that this is plaguing them now tells me it's going to plague them later. Oh. And that's what's going to happen in January. Oh, yes.
And you got the smile on your face. And the Cowboy hat will be coming out.
Listen, Cowboy fans obviously did not have a good Thanksgiving. Good! I'm glad they had a miserable Thanksgiving. And I hope they have a miserable Christmas. And they bring in a new year miserably. Okay? Not the Cowboys. The Cowboy fans. Jerry Jones is my buddy. That's my buddy. I don't root for that against Jerry Jones. I don't root for that against Stephen Jones. But them damn Cowboy fans, I wish nothing but misery upon them. And make no mistake. It's coming. Trust me. Trust me.
Cowboy fans, you want to keep yelling at the television? Watch First Take, of the hour.
Yeah.
You're going to be all over this.
They might not want to do that. I'm going to be worse on First Take. I'm going to be worse. I'm going to be worse on First Take. I apologize. Better. Worse for them. Better for me.
How can you not watch? Check out First Take, top of the hour. Good to see you, my brother. Thank you,
too,
for joining us.
Keep up the great work.
Tonight on ESPN, we'll have the Continental Tire Challenge. Number 5, Duke takes on number 1, Gonzaga. Tip off at 10:30 Eastern on ESPN and the app. One app, one tap. Coming up, we're talking Tampa Tom, renewing that rivalry with the Colts. Are the Bucks in trouble against one of the league's hottest teams? Get up. We'll be right back.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPN pods. That's amazon.com/ESPN pods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Back with you and some sneaky big games in the league. So we'll do a little who wins and why. Dan Graziano, starting with you. Browns, Ravens, who wins and why?
I'm going to take the Browns. I think it's a weird pick. I'm not sure exactly why. I feel like they're getting healthier in the run game, which is the really the most important thing for them. Sounds like Kareem Hunt will be back. Jack Conklin, the right tackle. So I think the Browns are getting healthy at the right time, motivated to beat the Ravens. Their next two games are both against the Ravens. They got to win one of them.
Good point. Got just the law of averages, right? Ninko, Steelers, Bengals, who wins and why?
I'm going with the Bengals. I think Joe Burrow's going to have a big day against that Pittsburgh secondary. The last matchup they had, Joe Burrow threw 3 touchdown passes. So I'm going with Cincinnati. I think Joe Burrow is due for a big game.
All right. And Sacho, a couple weeks ago, this would have been, but now it's a big game. Colts, Bucks. Who wins and why?
Yeah, I'm going Colts. Carson Wentz, 18 touchdowns, only 3 interceptions. This team leads the NFL in turnover differential. Number 1. Number 2, Jonathan Taylor running the rock. And then lastly, you see the turnovers on that screen. This defense for Indianapolis is playing really good football. They won 5 out of the last 6.
Hottest team in the league. And what's interesting is Tom Brady had this to say about his opponent this weekend, these Colts.
It's going to be a great game. I mean, they've got a good football team. They're playing really well. They went on the road against Buffalo last week, played great football. They got a very good defense, some really players. So it's going to be a big challenge for us. Short week for us. A lot of excuses can be built in, but we got to just push forward and go try to get a win on the road.
Okay, and they really need it. This team is not so great on the road. You saw 2-3. So, guys, we go through our picks on this one. And you know what, Nico, I'll start. Actually, Sacho, you already gave your pick. You're taking the Colts. Dan Graziano, who you got?
I'm going to take the Bucs. I think the Bucs run defense is going to be the stiffest challenge that Jonathan Taylor has faced so far. Taylor's on fire. And is playing as well as anybody in the league. But I think that Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense is very good at limiting the run. And when you can do that against the Colts, I think you have them on the ropes. I think Tampa gets this win.
Okay, Ninko, who you got?
Dan said it. It's going to be a front matchup. And I'm talking the offensive line versus the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensive. I'm going with the Colts because I think that they're going to be able to run the football, and that's going to be key. Everybody who's played Tampa, they understand they can't run the football on them, but in this particular matchup, it comes down to the running game. If the Colts can run the football, they win this game. I'm going with the Colts.
You're picking against your man Brady? Really?
This isn't about the quarterbacks. This is about the front. This is a matchup of offensive line versus defensive line. That Colts offensive line, their interior, they're impressive. That's why they're having so many rushing yards against their opponents.
All right. Well, Tom Brady, if you're watching, I can't explain Ninko, but I'll tell you what, I'm not picking against you. I would not pick against the Bucs in this matchup. Look, the Colts are hot, no doubt about it, but I trust in Tom Brady to outlast this team on defense. And Carson Wentz, he's always the unknown. I mean, he's playing good, but still, you have to worry sometimes with him. So I'm picking the Bucs on this one. Now, another sneaky big game, and look at this right here. New England entering Sunday's game because they're taking on the Titans. 7-point favorites, according to our friends at Caesar. That's really surprising in some ways. ESPN FBI also has New England as the favorite, giving them a 67% chance to come away with the win. So let's do our picks on this one. Titans, Patriots, Dan Graziano, who wins this one and why?
The Patriots win this one because they have more healthy players. The Titans are a mess right now. It's not just Derrick Henry out, but they're incredibly thin at wide receiver. They don't know if they're going to have A.J. Brown for this game. He's dealing with multiple injuries. Julio Jones and Marcus Johnson are on IR. They just signed Golden Tate this week because they're so short at that position. I think the Patriots are the healthier and better team right now.
Dan, where do you think this Patriots team stands in the AFC at this point?
Well, I mean, they're right near the top, if not at it. If they win this game, they'll have the same record as Tennessee. Could be the one seed if Baltimore does lose to the Browns. So, yeah, I mean, they're in that mix. We're going to find out, though. It's Titans, Bills, Colts, Bills, the next four games for the Patriots. By the end of that, we'll know for sure.
Sacho, who are you picking in this one?
Yeah, I like the Patriots in this game. And you look at what Tennessee's been able to do or haven't been able to do. They haven't been able to keep possession of the ball. Four turnovers last week. I think that Bill Belichick is going to take advantage of it at the end of the day. Turn over the ball, it's not good for you.
Really? And you go against that coaching, you go against this team. Ninko, who do you have?
Patriots. And listen, the Titans without Derrick Henry, that's like a tire with no air. They need that running back in the backfield to help Ryan Tannehill. If they don't have a running game, we saw it last week, four interceptions for Ryan Tannehill. The Patriots are the best at game planning. They're going to take away the running game. They're going to make the Titans play one-handed, and Ryan Tannehill probably will throw a couple picks. I say two. So the Patriots, it's going to be real cold in Gillette Stadium, about 24 degrees is the low, probably play around 32 degrees. The Titans can't simulate freezing weather. The Patriots, they practice in it every single day. It's going to be a blowout. I feel like the Patriots are going to set the tone in this game. They're going to go and show the AFC that they're going to be the top dog after this game.
So then, Ninko, what would the Titans have to do to win it?
Well, the Titans, they're going to have to make sure they stop the run, number one. The Patriots, they're playing bully ball right now. They're bringing in the fullback. They're bringing in two, three tight end sets. They're running the football with success, averaging over 5 yards a carry. If they can stop the run and get Mac Jones in longer down and distances and then bring the pressure, that's the situation you want to keep the Patriots. Longer down and distances, third and 10, and then bring the pressure, get after the young quarterback.
Interesting game plan. Now, I'm picking the Titans, and I have to admit, I'm torn on this one, only because after hearing your guys' arguments, I'm kind of like, maybe it's not the greatest pick. But I have to say, the Titans, for a while there, and I get Henry was the engine that made this team go, but for a while there, they were the best team in this league. They dropped a bad one recently, but I got to say, I still trust in this team long term. I think they can pull it out in this game, but only by a thin margin. I almost wanted to go with the Patriots, but I feel like somebody's got to be counter to New England today, at least in some way. I'm with you, Tennessee. All right. Now, speaking of football, we go to college this weekend because it's rivalry weekend. Say that three times fast. We'll cap off our Saturday triple header on ABC with the 116th annual Bedlam game between number 10 Oklahoma and number 7 Oklahoma State. Oh, it's going to be a good one. 7:30 Eastern on ABC and the ESPN app, One App, One Tap. And Saturday Night Football is presented by Capital One. First Take coming up next. And the answer to the question is yesterday's stunning loss a sign of things to come for the Cowboys. Stephen A., Molly, and Tim Tebow at the top of the hour. Get Up is brought to you by Hulu. Get Hulu for 99 cents a month for a year during the Black Friday main event. All right, so it's Friday, so we do a little thing we like to call Monday morning headlines with each of our analysts. All right, Sacha, what's your Monday morning headline?
Monday morning headline. Will the real NFC contender please stand up? I think we're going to see Tampa Bay lose, LA lose. We saw Dallas lose. I want to see who is for real in the NFC. Arizona Cardinals, they're on a bye week, but they lost 2 weeks ago. Green Bay lost last week to Minnesota. Somebody, please, anybody, please, show me you're the best. That's all I want to see.
It's a complete toss-up, and it's good foreshadowing for the playoffs because anybody can really run it. Ninko, who you got?
49ers, stand up, 49ers. I think that they get the job done. We saw them beat the Rams. They seem to be turned around a little bit as far as the mojo. You get Kittle back. He seems to be back and healthy. Jimmy Garoppolo taking care of the football. No interceptions the last 2 weeks. If he can keep that up, I think the 49ers have a shot to get themselves in position to sneak into a wild card game.
So you're saying there's a chance. Dan Graziano, what's your headline?
Big weekend in the AFC North, the division where every team is over 500. But after Cleveland beats Baltimore and Cincinnati beats Pittsburgh, it will be the Bengals at the top of and in control of their destiny in the AFC North coming out of week 12. We'll be talking up Joe Burrow's bunch again next week on Get Up.
Ooh, okay. So my headline is one win away. And what I like the Smith Daily News. What do I mean by that? Eagles, if they win this weekend against the Giants, 6-6, Cowboys, 7-4, they are in play to win the NFC East. I cannot believe I'm saying that considering last week I was like, I don't think this team has a chance. But they are playing so well, and Dallas has been in such a tough spot, there is actually a chance for them to win the NFC East. At least I think there's a chance. Sacho, is there actually a chance?
Yeah, there is a chance. And the Cowboys have lost three of the last four, yet they're still number one in the NFC East. And so there's a chance based off Philly's running game. So that's huge. Also huge. Happy Thanksgiving, everybody. Thank y'all for spending this Thanksgiving with us. That's a major shout-out. Happy Thanksgiving for you, for your families, for all your loved ones.
Thank you for waking up out of the food coma, especially you guys out there. And, Ninko, I got to ask you as well, man. You came on, and you were talking about having the food coma still. What did you have last night?
A lot of stuffing, okay? I'm stuffed still, but I'm not a huge turkey. I mean, a little bit of turkey, but I'm not a big turkey. Maybe it's because it's a little dry. Don't tell my wife it's a little dry, but you know, big stuffing guy.
She's watching.
Right, call there. Oh, I love it. First Take starts right now. Have a great weekend.